Friends, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm glad that you're here with me on the journey to live beyond your limits. If you're back for more insights and information, thank you so much for sharing your time with me. If you're wondering how you're going to pick yourself up after the trauma that you've experienced, or the addictions that you're trying to manage, or if you're in dire need of some inspiration on how to keep going when things feel unbelievably overwhelming and impossible, then you won't want to miss 1 minute of this episode. Today on the podcast, I want to share a story with you. It's a deeply personal story. It's the story that led me to starting this movement to help others live beyond their limits. Have you gone through a time when everything feels completely and totally impossible? I know you've been there, right? We all have. But you know what I'm talking about when life is coming at you from every single angle. Your relationship has just ended, or you're drinking too much. You're behind on your bills. Your performance at work is lackluster, and you feel like moving forward is impossible. And frankly, you want to give up. I get it. I've been there. Impossibility is the underlying theme of my life. I know that you have a story about your life and what moments have led to the greatest impact for you. We all do, and our experiences are what connects us. Our stories are so potent that they have the potential to transform other people's lives. This has been happening for us as long as we have existed as humans. Our stories are so powerful, they can even change our own lives if we're willing to allow that. Let's dive into what has put the fire in my belly to help you. I came into the world with a cleft lip and palate. My lip didn't form correctly and completely, so there's a hole in my lip. My nose looked flattened out to my face. I could not breathe through my nose, and I had no palate in the roof of my mouth. I also had a significant underbite that caused my bottom jaw to jut forward. When I was born, there was no pre-birth testing to see if the fetus had any sort of health issues or other complications. So I just came into the world exactly as I was, making a huge splash, and everyone was surprised by my condition. I had an incredible number of health challenges from the very beginning. My mom had to feed me with an eyedropper every 20 minutes. I was sick all of the time, and my first surgery to begin the repair process on my lip was at the age of 10 weeks old. I had 9 major surgeries consisting of over 25 procedures that finally ended when I was 17. My mom was only 17 when she had my older brother and 19 when she had me. My father was an alcoholic. There was a lot of volatility and chaos in our home. On any given night, my father would just show up at our house drunk. At all hours of the night, we'd all be asleep and he'd start fighting with my mom. He'd throw all of our stuff out on the front lawn and then promptly tell us to get out. Looking back now, I can't even imagine what it was like for my mom. At just 19 years old, 2 babies, and one that needed a lot of medical care, her plate was already full just with that. In addition, contending with my father and his active alcoholism would put most people completely over the edge. But she found a way. You see, that's my mom. She always found a way for us. Money was tight, and some of my strongest memories were of my parents screaming about how much money my dad had just spent at the bar the night before, and then how we were going to pay our bills for the coming month. Economic insecurity for us was a real thing. And it always felt so stressful in our home, like there was never enough of anything. I grew up in this uber religious family and attended Catholic school. That wasn't great for me at all. Turns out that I preferred Tonka trucks and BMX bikes and boy fun much more than Barbies and curling hair and all of the other things that girls did. I discovered at a very young age that I was attracted to girls and not boys. Needless to say, that did not fit into the ideal Catholic schoolgirl model at all, and unfortunately brought a whole nother set of challenges along for me. My childhood was littered with endless doctors, dentists, orthodontists, speech lessons, and violence in our home. I was teased and made fun of for the way that I looked and spoke. And just as I thought that all of this was ending after my last surgery, and that brighter days were ahead, life had other plans for me, and the climb got really, really steep. Folks, I want to offer a content warning at this time. I'm going to talk about the multi-fatality car accident that I was involved in. And if you're not up for that, or that feels triggering for you in any way, please feel free to skip ahead by about 45 seconds so that you can miss that. It was so cold that afternoon in Vermont, which wasn't really unlike any other January day. The sun was getting ready to set, and I got bundled up for my after-school job and ready to head into town. I worked at the gas station as a gas attendant. I made that five-minute trek along the country roads. I had my radio cranked and singing along. I arrived just a few minutes early, and I was listening to a song on my tape deck. I can't really describe exactly what happened for me internally, but I had this pull, like this nagging, knowing, right? Internal thing was going on that I needed to drive through town. The entire length of town is only like three city blocks. So I pulled back out, singing along to the tape, and I drove to the other end of town. I turned around in the American Legion parking lot and made my way back into town. As I was approaching the center of town, a car was leaving my grandparents' diner. He pulled out into the lane of traffic and then turned in front of me. I saw the car. It was barely moving. It was really, though, as time stood still. My car was traveling forward and approaching him, but he was barely moving through my lane of traffic. I tried to slow down. I thought about all the ways that I could avoid him potentially. I couldn't go into the left lane because that's oncoming traffic. And to the right, there was this old fire station building, and I was perfectly fine hitting that. So my plan was to keep veering right off the road to miss him. But I was feeling really frantic because the further that I went to the right, the more that his car was coming directly into my path, and I couldn't avoid him. All of this happened in like split seconds, right? But it felt like a lifetime as I'm working through this in my mind. And I hit his car broadside. There were three passengers in the car. They were all women on their way to play bingo. They never made it. The three women lost their lives due to the impact. When those women lost their lives, I lost the person that I thought I was. From that moment on, I lived every day of my life believing that I had killed three people. I already struggled with self-esteem and hatred for the life I'd been given. After the accident, I hated myself more than ever. But new feelings crept in to overpower my already heavy emotional load. Shame. Debilitating shame. Fixation. I couldn't stop thinking about what happened. The movie of the event played over and over in my mind relentlessly. Then guilt. The guilt I felt for my part in what happened was too much to bear. I didn't feel worthy of the air that I was breathing. I became obsessed with finding a way to escape myself and the hellish reality that I was living in. I started drinking and using drugs every day. I literally could not stand to be in my own skin, and I had to find a way out. I became obsessed with suicidal ideation. The only thing that seemed to alleviate the pain was drinking and drugs. But of course, no matter how much I drank or used, there was never enough to end the pain that I was feeling. Any so-called relief that I would get was only temporary. And the addiction brought its own intense changes, terrible changes. I chased the feeling of escape for a decade. I became someone completely obsessed with getting wasted. I didn't know myself anymore. I'd become this unreliable and selfish person. I wanted to die and felt like I deserved that. So I figured that would be my way out. Now, to most people, this would sound like where my life ended. But the truth is, this is where my true journey started. I want to thank you for listening to me and giving me grace as I share my hardest, most vulnerable truths with you. The reason that I'm sharing this now is I want you to understand why and how I got where I am today. It was not easy. It didn't happen overnight. But all of what I shared today, the self-hatred, the self-harm, the addiction, the guilt, I overcame it. All of it. And I'm living proof that whether you have a very similar story or you only see some truth that we share in common, you can live beyond your limits. The best moments and days are ahead. They were for me, and I know that they are for you. No matter how hopeless you feel right now, there is a path forward. Tune into the next episode for how I took all of this and transcended it, and why I believe so passionately about sharing this with you. In the meantime, follow me on TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook. Share this episode with your friends and family if you feel like they could benefit from this. I look forward to connecting next week. Have an incredible week.